Hello. Hear me at the back? Hey, good. All the rowdy ones on the back row, I can see you. Excellent. Right, okay, so Beth's going to get the PowerPoint up for me, and I am going to attempt to use the clicker this morning. We will see. Okay, who are you? If someone asks you a question like that, how would you answer, who are you? Well, you might answer by giving your name. I'm Wendy. You might say something about what you do. I'm an occupational therapist. You might say something about your family. I'm married. I have two wonderful children. I have to say that. They're sitting on the front row. So how would you answer that question? Well, what did Jesus say? I think I'm having problems here, Beth. Ah, that was probably you, was it? Oh, it wasn't. It was me. Oh, excellent. Well, we'll see if this works. Can I just have the lights down a bit, please? That's possible. So, John 14, verse 6. Many of us will know this verse incredibly well. Jesus answered, thank you, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Emma, I want to borrow you for a minute. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do anything dreadful. Would you mind just coming out? I was meant to speak to Emma beforehand just to kind of preempt her. I know, and I completely forgot, but it's okay. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want you to be an illustration for me this morning. So if I said to Emma, who are you? She might say, well, you know, I am Emma. She might say, I'm a teacher. She might say, I am a worship leader. Now, I know Emma. She probably wouldn't say this, but she could say this. She could say, I'm an anointed worship leader. Okay, now she probably wouldn't, because I know Emma, she probably wouldn't. But she could say, I'm a worship leader. She could even say, I love to worship. I love to lead other people in worship. But I'm pretty certain that what Emma wouldn't say is, I am worship. No. Why wouldn't she say that? Well, because it makes no sense, does it? Emma is a worship leader. She leads worship. She worships. We're sure where I was going with that one. She worships, but she is not worship. Thank you, Emma. Sorry, just needed you to be there for that. Okay, so it doesn't make sense. And yet Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Now, that's a pretty outrageous claim, isn't it? He's claiming to be the way, not I could show you the way. He's claiming to be the truth, not I can teach you about truth. And he's claiming to be the life, not I can show you how to live your life. How can a person be the way? How can a person be truth? How can a person be life? It doesn't make sense. Well, hopefully it will begin to make some sense. So we're going to look at the context of this passage in John 14, verse 1 to 7, just to put it into the picture. So this is the Last Supper. So this is the day before Jesus is crucified, and he's talking to his disciples. And he's saying to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know in him and have seen him. So today, I'm starting a series on this, little mini series on this verse, and I'm going to focus on that I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, how do you prepare for a journey? If you're going somewhere you've never been before, I'm guessing you probably have a map. You might have a sat-nav. You might have somebody with you who knows where they're going. I guess most of us wouldn't start a journey unless we knew actually where we were going. Unless you were going on a mystery tour. Anyone ever been on a mystery tour? Yeah? I like to know where I'm going, so I don't like the idea of a mystery tour, personally. But, yeah, most of us would know where we're going, and we'd have kind of had an idea of how to get there. Now, I like to be kind of in control and know exactly where I'm going and what I'm doing. So I don't tend to blindly put a postcode in the sat nav or into my phone and then press go. I like to know that it's taking me where I want to be. So recently, Martin and I were staying at a Premier Inn, and I put the postcode into my phone and had a look at it, and then had a look at where the destination was, and the little red dot was in the middle of a lake. And I was pretty certain that the hotel was not a submerged hotel or a floating hotel, so I decided to examine a little bit more carefully exactly where we were going. But Jesus told his disciples he's going somewhere, and he didn't say, I'm going ahead of you so that I can figure out where it is, and then I can come back and take you. He actually said, you can go where I am going because I am the way. Well, the way to where? Jesus was returning to his Father. That's where he was going. He talks about going and preparing a place for them. He's talking about preparing a place in heaven, that eternal home that we go to when we know Jesus. Now, this really excites me, because if Jesus is preparing a place for me, and he's already been at it for a couple of thousand years, and he's probably got a few more years to go, that must be pretty special, don't you think? Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if you've ever been to visit someone, or you've had someone to visit visit you, you know, you go to a bit of effort, don't you, to kind of prepare the place. I mean, we tend to clean the house when people visit. As we do have a little joke to say that we ought to have people around more often, because the house might get cleaned more often. But I don't want you to think I live in a pigsty. But you know what I'm saying? You make an extra effort, don't you, when people are coming round. And if people are coming to stay, you make sure, you know, that the place is nice and you've got a nice place for them to come to. Well, if Jesus is preparing a place for us, folks, it's going to be pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. But he's not just talking about that place, the place in the future, because he says no one comes to the Father except through me. He's talking about having a relationship with the Father now. And to have a relationship with the Father, he's saying we've got to go through him. So what does he mean by that? Well, if you're going to see someone important or talk to someone important, very often you have to go through someone else first, don't you? You have to get past their secretary or an associate. And what that basically means is that you're kind of getting the permission, if you like, to get access to that person. So they kind of filter out all the people that they don't want to be seen and allow in the ones that they do. But coming to the Father through Jesus isn't like that. It's not like just getting Jesus' nod of approval and saying, okay, yeah, that's all right. You can get through to the Father. In order to get to the Father, to get to the eternal life that Daryl's been speaking about, we have to go through the route of Jesus, the way of Jesus. So what does that mean? And why can't we just get there by ourselves? Well, a few years ago when we did the Alpha and we did all the talks ourselves, I did a little PowerPoint. And I'm hoping you're going to be really impressed with my PowerPoint skills, okay? Because I'm going to show you this. I'm hoping this is going to work. Okay, so God's plan was always that we would have a relationship with him. So we'd be friends. But we know that something went wrong. That Adam and Eve chose to disobey him. They believed they knew best. And this meant that there was a break in their relationship. And what happened was sin entered the world at that point. And sin is basically just anything that is about us rather than God. It's about putting me first and going my way rather than God's way and disobeying him. So they were separated by their sin. And because of that, all mankind has been separated by our sin. You see, God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose. As parents, we want our kids to love us, but we want them to love us because they choose to love us, not because they feel under obligation or because they have no choice. As the father, he wanted his children to choose a relationship with him. And so he gave us free will. But of course, that means we can choose not to have a relationship with him. We've got the capacity to choose to love him and to be in relationship with him, but what means we also have a capacity not to. Okay, so there's a barrier. So what can happen then? What can we do about that barrier? Well, there's nothing else that will actually get across that barrier. Nothing is going to bridge that gap. Nothing that we can do can bridge that gap. Coming to church is not going to get you to God. Being good is not going to get you to God. It's not enough. But fortunately, God had a plan. God had a rescue plan. He had a plan to bridge that gap right from the beginning. He knew. The plan was there, the promise was there that there would be a way back to him. And that way was the cross, Jesus. Jesus was the rescue plan. Jesus was the one who made the way. Do you like the way he runs across there? Oh, that was quite cool. For man to get back to God. Are you impressed with that? I thought that was pretty cool. That took me hours, that did, when I first did that. Hours. I'm sure there's a much easier way of doing it as well, but never mind. Anyway, so Jesus made the way to get back to the Father, to get back everything that he promised us, everything that he has for us. The Bible calls Jesus the mediator between God and mankind. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus." A mediator is one who intervenes between the two in order to restore peace or friendship. Or it can mean someone who ratifies a covenant, ratifies a promise, an agreement. What Jesus did, because he was fully God and fully man, he could bridge that gap between God and man. No one else could do that. But he ratified the covenant. That means the promise that God made right at the beginning to say that the relationship would be restored, that promise of a rescue plan, that promise, Jesus came and signed it, if you like, in his blood. He came and officially ratified it, made it real, made it legal, made it complete by his death. The promise of salvation was made complete in Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the only way that man could make himself right with God was through repeated animal sacrifices to take the place of their own sin and what the punishment for their sin. God gave them instructions how to live. They messed up. They made sacrifices. They were right with God. They messed up. They made more sacrifices. There was a constant going on of that process. The way to God now is no longer obeying a set of rules or sacrificing an animal, because Jesus came to be the once and for all sacrifice. Are you glad about that? He made the way back to the Father because he became the way. He became the way because he became human and gave his life on the cross. He took the punishment that should have been mine, that should have been yours, so that we can become friends of God. Jesus' death, and that's why I wanted to have a cross in view today. Jesus' death is central to our salvation, is central to the way. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. We only get to the destination through him. But it's not enough that we know about this stuff. It's not enough that we know that Jesus came and that we know that he died. We actually have to personally make a response to that. We have to come to him and ask him to apply that to us. Jesus died. He did everything that was required to make that opportunity for us to be brought back into relationship with the Father. But we have to choose to respond. We have to recognize that we are lost, that we need to find the way. We need to personally ask Jesus to do that for us, to take away our sin, to forgive us and clean us up. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we have to go through the route of his death, because the way of Jesus, as I said, is the way of the cross. It is the way of death. When we come through Jesus, we're saying, Jesus, I want your death to apply to me. So in effect, we've died too. So Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. How can that happen? Well, it's a mystery. But basically, because we are identifying with Jesus and we're saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to give my life to you. I want you to apply all that you've done for me. It's as if we were crucified with him. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We come to Jesus and we die. The old me is dead. And we are born again into new life. Like Daryl said last week. You see, the thing is, Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't stay dead, folks. He is alive. And because he is alive, we can live. It's not just about our death. That is not the end. It's just the beginning to the new life. We are born again. Do we have any babies here actually in the room at the minute? Any tiny babies? We have a baby? No? No tiny babies. Well, just imagine a tiny baby. That baby has no history. That baby has committed no crime. That baby is guilty of no wrong. When we come to Jesus, we die, and all the wrong stuff that we've done is gone, is washed away. We become like a new baby who is not guilty. So if I go and slap Martin round the face, he could forgive me. I'm not going to. Just to illustrate the point, if I slapped him round the face, he could be very gracious and forgive me, which I know he would do. But we're not going to try it out to find out. But I would still be guilty of doing it, wouldn't I? I've still done it. You know, I can't erase that fact. He's still going to have a red cheek. You know, he still might not feel particularly happy with me, even if he's forgiven me. He might keep his distance from me. But the truth is, I'm still guilty. But when we come to Jesus, he forgives us. But it's not just that we've been forgiven, we've been justified. We've been made right with him, and the sin has been washed away so that it's just as if I'd never sinned. I am not guilty. See, when we come to Jesus, we give up our old life for a new one. We start again. See, that's why there's no point in waiting until you feel good enough to come to Jesus. Because you're going to die anyway. When we come to Jesus, the life we had, it was reckoned as dead. So you can try as hard as you like, but if you're going to die anyway, there's not a lot of point, is there? Do you see what I'm saying? So you might as well come with all your rubbish, because if the old life is going to die, then it's all gone and you can start afresh. So we come to Jesus just as we are. But now, we have a fresh start. Jesus is the way to a new life, to a new beginning, to a fresh start, but he's also the way to freedom. See, just forgiving us and cleansing us is not really a lot of use if we're still trapped in those patterns, those ways of sin. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And Romans 6 says, but you might have to help me here, Beth. Oh, there we go. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Jesus has defeated the power of sin in our lives, which means we now are in a position where we can choose not to. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have been set free. Does that mean we're perfect? No. But living this new life means we are being transformed to be more like him. So because Jesus rose from the dead, not only can we have new life, but this life is resurrection life. Ephesians 1 talks about the power that we have in us by his Spirit being the same power that he exerted when he rose Jesus from the dead. The power that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in us. That is resurrection power. And that resurrection power is victory power. This is the power of the one who is far above all authority, all power, and all dominion. Oh, well, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way. It's all right. There we go. There we are. Jesus is the way. He is the way to victory. He is the way to victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the powers of darkness. That's why Daryl can have confidence when we talk about being released and free from fear, because Jesus is the way to victory and freedom. He is the way to living a victorious life. He is the way to living a life that is being transformed from glory into glory. He is the way to the three scoop ice cream that Daryl was talking about last week. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. He is the way, the only way, to a relationship with the Father. He is the way into the presence of God. Hebrews 10 verse 20 says that by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. He is the way that we enter in to the presence of God. He is the way to encountering God. Beth, could you just click it on for me, please? Thank you. Do you know the way? Do you know the way? Jesus. See, without him, we are lost. We can't find the way. Daryl taught last week of Jesus rescuing us from danger. He used that illustration of him as a small child stepping out into the road in front of a car and his mum dragging him back and saving him, rescuing him. You know, there's a verse in the Bible we find in Proverbs a couple of times, and it says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. You see, living without Jesus is living our own way. And that way might seem right to us. But how do we know it's the right way? Jesus has come as the only way. There is no other way. He is the only way to eternal life. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to be rescued from death, from spiritual death. There is no alternative. There is no other way. Coming through Jesus means coming through the cross. It means dying and living a new life with Jesus. But the result is a new life, a resurrected life, a life with access to all that God has for us. Jesus is the way to that life, the way to increasing freedom, increasing intimacy with the Father, increasing victory. We can stay where we are, or we can take the way to more. I want to use another ice cream analogy. I just have to say, Daryl, that when you mentioned the three-scoop ice cream illustration right at the beginning of your message last week, my stomach was rumbling the whole way through. So I hope you're grateful I'm mentioning it at the end. When our kids were small, if we had a special occasion and we went to Pizza Hut, they loved the ice cream factory at Pizza Hut. Does anybody else remember the ice cream factory? Unlimited ice cream. Okay. So they would get their bowl and they would fill it with ice cream, and then you could put all these toppings on, and they'd come back to the table with this disgusting mess, and most of the time they couldn't even eat it all, could you? And it was absolutely disgusting. But the idea is that there's an unlimited supply. It's unlimited. You could go back for more if you really had room in your stomach for it. You see, the thing is, we can have as much of Jesus as we want. There is no limit. He has paid the price for the ice cream factory dessert. We can choose to fill our bowl and go back for more, or we can stay empty and hungry. But Jesus is the way. He has paid the price. It's there for us if we want it. And you may have already got Jesus in your life. You are already following him. You already gained access to the Father through him. But I want to encourage us this morning that he is the way to more. He is the way to more breakthrough. He is the way to more peace, to more freedom. He is the way to your miracle. He is the way to abundant life. He is the way. The cross is the way. Jesus